We're a week away.
Oh my God. It's awesome. I'm so excited.
I feel like you've really been hitting your stride. I feel like you've been very on.
You should see me. I've been doing these events. I've done forums and stuff.
I've been watching the clips and stuff.
We've learned a lot about this whole forum thing.
Just by going to a
couple. Just doing a few of them and also talking to the other candidates that are there. There's a lot of frustration because you can't get to the bottom of anything at these events.
Like you just get a couple minutes to say something.
Yeah, and you can say whatever you want. Like it's just so often you get a question is asked and whoever is answering just says whatever they feel like saying.
Right.
It's not moderated in a way that actually allows us to get to the bottom of things. So the same thing with those little debates, the WTTW and the Fox 32. You know, I definitely had my time in the spotlight, I guess. I finally hit them with a whirlwind. They didn't see me coming. But it's not good enough. I think we're failing the public right now. We are literally failing Chicago by having 14 candidates for mayor and most people still having no idea who they want to support because they don't even understand their choices. Yeah, I'm excited and optimistic like I usually am, and I've definitely hit my stride for what I'm talking about, what I have to say, and the work that we've been putting out. But what keeps me up at night is the possibility that we're about to select the next leader of Chicago with our $22 billion budget, with so many different lives, like 2.7 million people in this city, and the public doesn't have a fair take on their choices.
Welcome to Neil Runs for Mayor, the podcast about Neil Salas Griffin and his quest to be the next mayor of Chicago. I'm Sean Hildner.
I'm Waylon Wong.
And by the time you're hearing this, we are about 5 days away from the mayoral election.
It is upon us.
So what is Neil working on this last week or so?
Well, it's a bit of a mad dash to the finish. He had a few pretty ambitious projects, a couple on the tech side and a big get out the vote push where he'll be out on the streets talking to voters like he did with signature collection. Neil and I had a conversation about his big three areas of focus for the days leading up to the election. The Questions app, which you've heard about, that is the app that aggregates candidate responses from all these different questionnaires that they get from media outlets and such. The Receipt, which is a physical handout he's getting printed up. That's a receipt for your taxes. And something you haven't heard of yet called KPI. And you'll hear more about that later. But we're going to start with this Questions app.
We did a soft launch. It went live literally, minutes before the WTTW debate started. So for the past few days, we've been tweaking and paying attention and making sure that other questionnaires are included. I filmed a video basically introducing the tool, talking about the why behind it. I made a point to not ship this questions app unless we had the shareability component for every answer, not just my own. So now if you like Paul Vallis' answer on the budget, you can tweet or Facebook post or email that out. If you like Lori Lightfoot's answer on criminal justice reform, you can tweet, post, and point that out and have a conversation online about it because I've already used it. For example, on Twitter, I posted about something and someone responded and said, what's your take on the debt situation? And I replied with a link to the questions app with my answer and with other candidates' answers too. So it's not just, hey, here's my take on it. It's here's my take in the context of other candidates too. And they have a lot of valuable things to say as well.
Are you able to see how many people are coming to it though?
Yes. I don't have the numbers, but we are tracking that. And I don't think we're the silver bullet or the ultimate solution, but with some of the guides that I've seen, like the WBEZ one, unfortunately, I feel like the public's being misled a little bit.
How come?
Because there are answers to questions where when you complete their quiz, they'll tell you that you align with a certain candidate, but there are candidates that agree far more than they disagree. They just happen to answer one question, yes or no, but really their answer was maybe. And the context that they provided presented essentially the same answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so like
it does.
One candidate answers yes, one candidate answers no, but they both said the same thing when they clarified it. So how are you supposed to gauge who you want to support based on that kind of breakdown?
Yeah.
So and it was funny, the Tribune has one as well, like a voter quiz.
Well, you sent it to me and I took it and I was 70% aligned with you.
So I was 78% aligned with myself. And I completed the, I sent that in. So I'm just, I was trying to figure this out. What? So it's really difficult with all of these methods that people are taking to try to educate and inform voters. So instead, I just want to say, look, here's what we got asked. Here's what we said.
You've got a week and you want people to come to your questions app. They need to find it and they need to come to it and start using it. And they have to trust that it's objective, because you're here saying it's objective. But
well, we link to the source.
Right.
So
I know.
What I mean by objective is when you go to look at our questions app, these are published questionnaires that are on other websites and we link back to those sources. So when we say objective, it's like see for yourself. We make it easy for you to check the citations, to look at the research, to show our work. So it's less about it being on our platform and it's more about it being something shareable.
Right.
So
I just think it's a little bit of a challenge, because when someone hears, well, you know, this mayoral candidate has this thing where you can go and see what everyone else said and see what he says, I think automatically people are going to be like, oh, there's a gimmick here. There's a gimmick where, you know, you're not a think tank. You're not a public policy group that's doing it from a dispassionate distance. You're a candidate and there must be a gimmick here. So I feel like you're going to have to overcome that too in the next week if you want people to really be engaging with your questions app.
Well, that's an opportunity for people to get to know me, because we know it's not a gimmick. And I think if anybody were to scrutinize what we've done with it, they'll find that out very quickly. So that's fine. I'm willing to take that challenge on, because I don't think there was anyone else in the race who had the energy or the capability to pull off something like this. This is a data set that did not exist until we put it together and we did the hard work to actually compile this information and organize it into a system that makes it easier for voters. We've also built an API so that it doesn't just have to be us using the information. So I'm proud of it, because look, just go to one forum or watch a forum video on YouTube, or ask somebody if they've seen or gone to any of these. Most of the time they haven't, but even the ones who have still leave with more questions than answers, with more things to clarify than feeling like they have some sort of decision that they've made about who they like the most. So we are not adequately providing voters with the information they need to make a true choice for who they would want to be as their mayor. So I think this is one of the most meaningful problems to solve in this race. And by showing people that our values are more in making sure that they're informed and less about trying to promote ourselves, I recognize the trade-off there. But to be honest, it's no longer about me and trying to promote Neil. It's about trying to promote democracy in Chicago. And if people like my style and my vibe and what I'm about because I've prioritized educating them over trying to promote myself, I think there's a lot of people out there that can appreciate that. But, you know, probably not enough people at this point that we could reach.
I feel like the emphasis on reach, and reach especially in the last week, is important and valid. But I think that we're laying the groundwork for a better discussion, obviously, for every municipal election to follow.
This is Claire Feinberg. You've heard from her before on this show. She is Neil's campaign manager.
So I've been really involved with answering a lot of the questions. And one thing that I learned, which I was really surprised by, was how sort of topical they are based on what's popular in the news. And so collecting this database, it's really evident how inadequate the questions are, really. The major outlets like the Trib, Sun Times, WBEZ, NBC also sent in a questionnaire. They're all redundant questions. There are lots of organizations who we've gotten questions from who are asking really interesting, thought-provoking questions, like around, around transit policy, around drug policies.
Are these more specific?
Yeah, these
public
are
interest groups,
right.
So they have like their specialty.
Right, and they're not necessarily publishing them anywhere. They just want to know what we think.
Oh, really?
Right. Huh. So they're not sending those, and so that's the other side of this. While we link back to the sources, I think there's a really interesting repository that we're building of our own responses, of other candidates' responses, and then on top of it, it should sort of be seeded every year that we should have like the same sort of questions answered, because we need an action plan for actually answering this stuff. It starts with a question like, why is my school underfunded? But obviously what somebody really wants to know is, how are you going to solve it? Prove to me that it's been solved. Demonstrate that this case has been closed. And if we ask that question in a cyclical manner, like once a year, twice a year, here's the top of, you know, top priorities, did we move forward on this? We might actually be able to hold people more accountable. So I know that, you know, what we're working on right now might seem futile for the next 7-8 days that we have an opportunity to work on it. But that's not really the value, and I don't think that we can judge reach as the major indicator of the value of the thing that we're creating.
This idea of holding candidates accountable for their action plans brings us to Neil's next big project, something called KPIs.
KPI stands for Key Performance Indicator, or Key Performance Metrics is what we talk about. So it's seared into my brain because, you know, Mondays are class day for me at Northwestern, where I'm teaching entrepreneurship at the engineering school. And this is what I have my students do every quarter, is identify what are the most important metrics to measure to actually work towards success as you've defined it for your business or for your customers. So I have applied that same framework to thinking about policy for Chicago, because one of the biggest issues I had when I worked on the technology plan for the mayor, when I co-chaired the Tech Diversity Council, and we helped, you know, produce this, you know, big document that has a bunch of really interesting and valuable projects for technology implementation in the city. You can go look up that plan right now. But good luck trying to figure out the status of those projects. Are we progressing? Did they change somehow? Who's in charge? Who's responsible for following through on them? And then now across the Chicago mayoral candidates, you've got some that have really detailed plans, right? Paul Vallis, Lori Lightfoot, they've got plans, plans on plans on plans. And with these plans, how do you make sense of it? Because it's just big old blocks of text. But how do you make that accessible to voters? And how do you actually break down the critical analysis of these positions and the trade-offs of them?
So we look at any recent legislation that pertains to this issue in Chicago. If we can't find that, we try to find an example in a peer city. So we come up with defining success, then, like I said, recent legislation, key milestones. So these are sort of things that, like, we know that they're hurdles to implementing this platform or this policy position. Then we cite our sources, both for the legislation that we're referencing, but also the evidence as to why this is valuable, why people should care.
So this might be outside studies or things, studies done in other cities who've
tried
it. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we, like Neil said, also mentioned key trade-offs.
So we're talking about an interactive visual branch off your website that will lay all this out?
It's not necessarily interactive. Like, it says there's like a little drop-down, how do we get there? And then you click it and this information unfolds.
It's just more information underneath these chunks of text that we all write and say, oh, yeah, my position is, you know, I want to introduce term limits into the city of Chicago for our representatives. Okay, how do you do that? So what term limits would mean is now we would have a 2-term limit on the mayor and we'd have to pass this legislation in order for that to happen. And this is how it would work with, you know, the rules, and here are the steps by which this would actually get done. It's just further clarification that we've actually thought about how to execute the promises that we're making. And no, this doesn't get you elected, right? This isn't the kind of stuff that's like really exciting random voters. But this is just being true to who we are and what we're about and what we think is most important right now. I'd rather show people that I'm aware that I'm only one of 14 and that I'm the long shot. So rather than trying to fake it, I'll just be as real as I can by saying, I love working. I love doing the work, the research, the evidence, the inclusion of the city, making them aware of the problems and the challenges. And I'm obsessing right now, not only over my own ideas and how I would execute them, but I'm vetting the other candidates too.
Because you're applying this framework to them, you're going to show how their policy ideas break down in the same way?
So we're starting with ourselves, obviously. And I'm planning to encourage some of the other candidates to do this. And I didn't have a lot of the positions and credentials and experiences that these other folks have. But what I do have that they don't is the ability to systematize a lot of these ideas and this information and to critically analyze it in a way that actually helps people understand what's the right decision here.
Yeah, you're like the show your work candidate.
I am the show your work candidate. And respectfully, I get that they don't need to do that. Some of them are like, yeah, I already know how to do this stuff. And I'm like, all right, well, that's cool, but that's not helpful to most people. Most Chicagoans don't know how this works. And if they did, you'd probably be in trouble.
Speaking of explaining how the city works, that brings us to Neil's third and final big project, a receipt for your taxes. He's getting thousands and thousands of these printed up to hand out on the streets to talk to voters. So this receipt that you handed to me, it looks like a real receipt, like the kind you would get from a store, and it has this dot matrix font to it, which is really fun. It says Neil for Mayor on the top. Where does $100 in city taxes go? And then it's just itemized, just the way that you had planned it. So debt, which is interest payments on these bonds, $18.70. Police, $14.80. Pension, $13.80. So this is neat. So you're going to be handing this out like on the street when you're going out to talk to voters.
That's right. Don't forget the tip.
Oh, neilformayor.com/donate.
Hey.
That's very clever.
Yep. That was my idea at the last minute. Slipped that one in there. But Clara did the design for that. And we had our team of finance experts put in so much energy just pouring through the data sets and compiling this information so that we could come up with that simple calculator. But it requires a lot of work on the back end to render something so simple and intuitive. I'm at all these panels and everybody's promising these taxes. They're talking about all these different taxes. And we're like, well, show it. Show the breakdown. How does that paint a path to solvency in light of an extra $1 billion in pension debt we have to deal with in the next 4 years? Break it down. Show it. Because we could argue about taxes and casinos and marijuana and commuter taxes all day. But until you actually make it clear and accessible to the public, the ramifications of each and every one of these taxes and which communities it affects the most, which ones are regressive, which ones are progressive, and how that would actually play out, what the hell are we talking about? Mm-hmm. No one understands, and everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, tax this, tax that. No, don't tax anything until you show me what you're going to do with my damn money. That's how people feel.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
So by the time you hear this, we'll be days away from the election.
I've already started to brainstorm, like, all right, no, you know, whatever happens next Tuesday, February 26th, how do I keep the work going? How do I see this all the way through? Because now I'm obsessed with it. I've immersed myself in a process that is so broken that I don't think I can do anything else but try to fix it. Whether I'm in or whether I'm out, I am going to be a part of improving this system. It might be annoying for a while, but I'm going to come out and people are going to realize that I'm as real as they come because I don't want anything for this. I don't want any recognition or I just don't care about that stuff. And it seems like that's what a lot of these folks care about. Like that's what motivates them, what powers a lot of the folks that are involved in this game. And no one's obsessed with solving this voter turnout problem. They are all clamoring for this base of, you know, older voters, advertising on television, interacting with the media and the press, but not thinking outside of the box to say, how do we solve the 70% million plus registered voters who don't give a damn about this municipal election? How do you translate that into something that causes collective action in Chicago for democracy? If I solve that problem, either in the next week or in the next 4 years, that's going to change the city. That's what's at stake.
Well, I think what the other candidates want is the office. They want to be mayor. And I think your conversation or your thinking about what you want changed some time ago.
No, I want to be mayor too. I know I can get a lot done. If I'm mayor in the next week and the sky opens up again, Waylon, and you know that crazy thing happens
because
people like to count me out and then all of a sudden out of nowhere they go, oh, wow, he did a thing again. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, the reason I'm ran for this office is because this is where the problem, like this is the linchpin of the problem. That's it. So I'm a problem solver. I think at the systems level and I go, what is the issue here and how do we address it? And having the citywide conversation with voters about this is completely my speed and it's where I belonged in this race. Yeah, so I don't know if it changed as much as it, I'm just being practical and honest about the context that I'm facing.
Sure.
Which is, I can't play catch up. I just got on the ballot 3.5 weeks ago. How do I structure all of this in a way that allows the work to continue regardless of the outcome?
So by the time you hear us next, a lot of things will have gone down.
We'll either have a mayor or we'll know which two candidates are headed to a runoff in April. Because if no single candidate gets over 50% of the vote, the top two go to a runoff situation. The last poll I saw, I think undecided was the highest at maybe 19%. And then the top candidate would have been Bill Daley or Tony Prinkwinkle or someone, and they had maybe 14%. So I think it just really speaks to the confusion and indecision and paralysis that Neil talked about earlier. It's just been really difficult to figure out what everyone's about.
And in the meantime, Neil Runs for Mayor is produced by Waylon Wong and me, Sean Hildner. Music for the show is generously provided by Spencer Tweedy.
You can find us on Twitter at Neil Runs for Mayor. That's with the number 4. Our website is neilrunsformayor.com. That's F-O-R.
We'll see you next week.